Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know you've heard this before, some of you, and I can't change it. It always stays the same. It's called the gospel, but it's something that we need to be reminded of. And I can tell you this, I never get tired of hearing the gospel and talking about it. And I appreciate every opportunity I have to talk to someone about the gospel, and I really appreciate the power of the gospel, the fact that it changes lives and that it is the good news. Oh, sorry. Gunner is waving at me saying, plug yourself in.
All right, that's better. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as you get two handouts, we're going to start where it says presenting the gospel effectively. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, I'm using some other notes from Evangelist Tom Palmer, who we support. And then I'm also using other things as well, besides just his notes. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5. And we'll start the page that says presenting, and then we'll talk about the other side, and that dark copied side, we'll get to that. The one that Daniel's handing out, we'll get to that later. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, we thank you for opportunity to talk about the gospel. More importantly, help us to share the gospel. Everyone in here is saved. If they are saved, they ought to be able to share what they experience, what they know. And with some review and some reminders and with learning, we can share it in a systematic and simple way. And help us to remember, as we preached about this morning, that the gospel is the most important thing in the world. And the more people that get saved is a blessing to the world. And of course, a blessing to you and a blessing to them who are saved. I pray that you would help us to have a desire to share the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that you'll make it your goal in 2021 to win someone to the Lord, to see someone saved. The last person I led to the Lord was right at the end of 2020, I believe, and it was Sean. And the week before, Dallas had gotten saved, and they are roommates. And so when Dallas got saved, he came out. We ate lunch together with the people that were practicing for the Christmas program. And Miss Wilma sat down with Sean. And she said, well, that's great that Dallas got saved. Have you ever been saved? And Sean said, well, no. And she said, well, don't you think you should be? And, well, I've been thinking about it. And he came the next Sunday, and he raised his hand and said, I want to talk about salvation. And he got saved that next Sunday afternoon. And he told me that his plans were to leave and go to Portland, Oregon earlier that week. But he decided that he was not going to go to Portland, Oregon because he needed to come to church one more time. That was a blessing to hear, and that he was able to tell me that and tell me that he was desiring to have an opportunity to hear and to talk about the gospel one more time. When I gave him the plan of salvation, I think he already had heard it before and understood it. But he said, I just don't think I deserve it. Of course, that's a blessing because that's true. We don't deserve it. And praise the Lord for that. Now, let me also say to you that the presenter does not have to be a polished Bible college graduate, 30-year student of the Bible to give out the gospel. There's some wonderful stories of people who don't hardly know anything about the gospel except that they got saved. They hardly know how to tell someone. But their desire and their burden and their excitement to tell someone about the gospel drove them to share the gospel. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're in a day and age where we think we've got to have a comedian. We got to have a real smooth-talking person. We've got to have some kind of celebrity, some kind of pizzazz, some kind of inroad in order to share the gospel. I think it helps sometimes, but I think a lot of times we put way too much emphasis on that. Remember what we said this morning in Luke chapter 16? The rich man said, if you send a dead man back to my brothers, he'll get saved. He'll believe. And what did Abraham say? If he won't believe the word, he won't believe any sensational gimmick that we send him. It's the word that he has to believe. And we have to remember that. God doesn't need slick people. God doesn't need professionals. We think he does. We think we do. But it's not necessary. I'm reminded of different stories that I know of people that were used to win others to the Lord, and they didn't know the gospel very well themselves. I mean, they knew it. They were saved, but they weren't really versed in the Word of God, and yet God used them greatly because they were simple people who couldn't pronounce their words very well. It has been said that D.L. Moody was one of the great evangelizers in 100 years ago or more, and he preached, and lots of people heard the gospel and got saved. Someone said to him, said to him one time, I think it was an older lady, said to him, you know, I really don't like how you speak. Your grammar is terrible. He said, I know, ma'am. I know it's not very good. And he said, and she said, and besides that, I just don't think you do a very good job presenting the gospel. And he said to her, he said, I agree, ma'am. I don't think I do a very good job presenting the gospel either. He said, how do you do it? She said, well, I haven't done it for a long time. And he said, well, ma'am, I guess I like the way I do it better than the way you do it. And sure, we can be critiqued, and we can, and I'll tell you this, the more times I talk about the gospel to people, the more times I say, next time I'm going to say this. And it does help. And people who do it more think of better things to say and to answer and better verses to go to the next time. But listen, it's the power of God. It's not the power of the person. All right? Remember, all the power is right here. Jesus, go, and I'll be with you. All right? All the power is the Bible itself. And so don't get all timid or afraid that you can't share the gospel, because you can. And so Paul said in verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I wasn't going to try to show off my past. And, you know, Paul had a past. I mean, an impressive Pharisee type past. He was very good, and he was very knowledgeable of the Bible. But he says, verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And hey, listen, we're going to have a special speaker next week, but you know what? God doesn't need special speakers. You know, sometimes God uses very ordinary people. A lot of times that's what he uses. Why? So that your faith isn't in the wisdom of men, but it's in the power of God. You aren't looking at and saying that person's the one we need. No, it's God that we need. We already have access to him. So it's the declaration of the testimony of God. Verse 1. We're just declaring what God has done. We use the word witness as a verb. You need to witness. But in order to witness to others, you have to be a witness of something yourself. In other words, you have to be a noun. You have to have witnessed something yourself. And so you are a witness, and that's how come you can witness. And so if you're not saved, you can't be a witness. But if you're saved, you witnessed something. You saw something happen. You know something happened to you. And so you're declaring the testimony of God. And it says, I determined not to know anything among you but the Son of God. Just Him. I just want you to know about Him. And number 3, the demonstration of the power of God. Let me go back to verse number 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here's a real possibility right now. Right now. You share the gospel with someone, or you start to have a conversation with someone, and there's this temptation to slide into politics. All right? Don't go there. What if you get the impression that they might not be what you are in politics? Don't go there. You know what I'm interested in? In sharing the gospel and getting them saved. If they got saved, it might change their thinking about some other stuff. We ain't done a good job changing it the other way. And so I think you watch out for side trails. Watch out for rabbit trails that get you off course. Don't go there. And that's a temptation. Son, determine not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things that you might see. You might think, things might get brought up. They might have terrible breath. You know, don't hold your nose, but do your best to tear the gospel with them anyway. You know, they might be terrible. They might have body odor. They need the gospel, right? So it doesn't matter all these side trails. And they might have terrible manners or terrible habits, or their kids might be running around, you know, like crazy people. But you know what? The point is that we're trying to get them. We're not trying to help them fix their family. We're not trying to help them fix anything else. We're just trying to get them to understand who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you and what he can do for them. And so that when it's all said and done, it's a demonstration of the power of God. So when you talk to someone about the gospel and talk to someone about the good news, number one, and these are just simple things, and then on the other side of the paper, we're going to talk about the biblical things, not just the practical. And some of the biblical is on this side too, but number one, analyze. Is this person able to comprehend the truth of the gospel? If they speak Spanish and you don't speak Spanish, they don't speak English, but you speak English, it's probably not going to be a great, great conversation. And you probably just need to give them. Years ago, when the Spanish guys were doing the ceiling, all the drywall ceiling, only one of them spoke English. The rest of them were Spanish. And I looked for Spanish tracks, and I found a candy bar for each of them, and I gave them a Spanish track and a candy bar. I couldn't communicate with them, but I could at least give them something to read. But I analyzed the situation, and I knew that there's not much else I'm going to be able to do at the moment. What is the background of this person? How old are they? Can they comprehend? Can they understand? What you'll find is there are people out there that have been exposed to something, most of them, and find out how much they know and how much they comprehend already. When I was at Star Academy years ago, I found out that there was young people there that did not know what Easter was about. They knew there was an Easter bunny, but they had no idea that Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later. They had no idea. So I don't want to just start out saying, you need to believe that he rose from the grave, because the one young man looked at me and said, who did? He didn't know. He literally did not know. You know, he knew that Jesus died on the cross. He had heard that, but rose from the grave. Get out. Really? He did? I mean, he was that surprised. He thought I was joking. And so analyze. I've said it before, you know, like when Vacation Bible School is going on and little kids raise their hand, they'll talk to Pastor Matt about being saved. You know, and Brother Bill tries to weed through and figure out who he thinks might have been listening. But once in a while, you know, they come out and analyze. Hey, why did you come out? Why did you come out to talk to me? Well, I came out because Johnny came out, you know. We analyze and find out what they're real. Are they really ready to be saved, or are they not really on the same page? Did they show up because they just wanted to get a free meal, or did they show up because they really are interested in the gospel? So analyze it. Number two, personalize it. Make it clear that the gospel is one size fits all. It doesn't matter if they're 5 years old or 55 years old. They need the same gospel. And so understand that it is the same gospel. But obviously, if they're 5 years old, you might need to present it a little differently. And then John 3:16, insert the person's name when presenting scripture. Remember this word, whosoever. When you're giving out the gospel, there's a word in the Bible that shows up many times. Whosoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever. That whosoever is where you can insert their name or your name. For instance, for God so loved Matt that he gave his only begotten son, that if Matt, instead of whosoever, believeth in him, Man should not perish, but have everlasting life. Make it personal. And so you're talking to George. Put George's name in there and say, see, God so loved George. You're in the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That if George believes, George won't perish, but have everlasting life. All right? So personalize it. Verbalize it. Use terms and explanations that will clearly explain each concept. I think you should use the King James Bible. But that doesn't mean, I think, that you need to tell them, propitiation. You must know the propitiation. And they're staring at you like, I have never heard the word propitiation. So you need to explain, what is propitiation? Propitiation is substitute. He's our substitute. And break it down into words that they can understand. Use the King James Bible. But don't be afraid. I do it when I preach, right? I mean, I take the words from the scripture and then I break it down to help you. That's what it says in Nehemiah. They gave the sense. So use terms and explanations. The wages of sin is death. That's a term that we still use today. Wages. What are wages? Most people who have a job know what a wage is. Minimum wage. We use that term. So, and redeemed is a term that's still used in banking. And then sympathize. Put yourself in the place of the person you're dealing with and try to understand the situation from their perspective. Try to understand them. We're not God, so we're not as good as he is. And so, one great story in the Bible of how he understood, like we don't understand, is in John chapter 4, when he went to the woman of Samaria at the well. He understood her. The disciples did not understand her. But he knew her. And ask God for some wisdom. We don't, especially if we're talking to a stranger, we don't know the background. But usually you're talking to someone you kind of have some idea of. So put yourself in the place of that person you're dealing with and try to understand and try to see what they're seeing or try to visualize what they're seeing and try to understand them. Internalize, again, using personal pronouns. Explain each concept as it applies to the person you're dealing with. and put it in personal pronouns. And in other words, you and me, and it's about us. It's not just about somebody else. This is about you and I. And scripturalize. That's what I've been talking about already. Have the Bible with you. Now, there's times when you don't have a Bible with you. Look, that's why quoting it is so good. If you can memorize scripture and quote it, I have the gospel verses memorized, not all of them, but I have the gospel memorized, so so I can give the gospel without having it in front of me. What I do, and like I did the last time I shared the gospel, is I turned my Bible around. And I turned it around and showed them, and I was able to, because I have the Bible memorized, and I can show them where that's at. If you don't have it memorized, just have them sit next to you and read it to them and show them. But always, always use Scripture because of what we said earlier. It is the Word of God that is the seed, not you and I's opinion. And it's not a bad thing to overdose with Scripture. And why is that? Because let's say they don't get saved after your conversation. Let's say that you both part ways and they still haven't made a decision. But if you've shown them on paper, not just on a little piece of paper, and these are okay, but you got to make sure they understand this is the Bible. But when they know they read it out of the Bible, they have to go home knowing what? It isn't just what that guy said. It isn't just what she said. It's what he said. That's Bible. And I think it's so important to show people from the Bible what it says. And then especially if you're dealing with young age. Now, I say young age, but it's not always young age. I've got a couple examples here. And we use these and we have different methods, especially for classes and younger people. There's something called the wordless book. Now, understand, you can't substitute the Bible for the wordless book, but you can use the wordless book to help you explain the Bible. Don't ever leave the Bible behind. But this is a song based on the wordless book. What is the wordless book? The wordless book is a book with pages of colors and no words. And it's so that anybody, can simply remember the gospel. So this one spells it out in a song. My heart was dark with sin. So if I had the first page of the wordless book, I'd have a black page. Because black represents sin. My heart was dark with sin until the Savior came in. And then the next page would be red. What does the red represent? The blood of Christ. All right? And so the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanseth us from all sin. And so what does the white page represent? The clean heart. The clean heart. Miss Wilma would use this along with the Bible, of course, and teach young people when she was teaching little ones. And one day a little guy named Gavin, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, years ago over in Wyoming, his dad and he and his dad's friend, an adult guy, was sitting in the front seat. Gavin was in the back. And they're just going down the road. And all of a sudden, Gavin stuck his head between their two shoulders. And he looked at his dad's friend. He said, "What color is your heart?" You know? And the adult man just kind of looked at him like, "Huh?" He said, "What do you mean? What color is your heart?" Red, I think. He said, "Well, mine's green." Green? Well, because this wordless book, it goes on. It says, "My heart was dark with sin till the Savior came in. His precious blood I know washed me white as snow. In God's word I'm told I'll walk the streets of gold." So there's a gold page to represent heaven. That's where we go when we die if we're saved. But until we die and go to heaven, after we've been saved, God expects us to grow. And so there's green. And that's why Gavin told him he had a green heart. He was past the salvation stage, and he was in the growing. Now, I am not saying to you that you can just take colors and win people to the Lord with just colors, okay? But it helps us to remember what the Bible says. We can quote the Bible and quote Scripture with that simple concept in mind. Another one is just the bridge. And we have this track right here called the Bridge of Life. I think it's perfectly fine to help people visualize, especially young people, and help them visualize and see these concepts drawn out for them. You see God's bridge. And so the pictures here represent a chasm, a canyon, and how that there's a bridge that we go across to the other side. You can't reach heaven without the bridge. And Jesus is the bridge. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus represents the bridge. Those are just visuals. Now, you say, well, you know, somebody might say, "Well, I just think you should use the Bible," and absolutely, we should use the Bible. But you know that there are adults that can't read. I mean, there. So if you hand them a tract, "Here, read those scriptures," it's not going to happen. There was an adult here today in church that cannot read. They need it visualized. Okay. They need it verbalized because they can't read English. We talk about the King James Bible, and I'll die talking about why it's right. But understand something. Our wonderful education system has not taught very well, and we have a lot of people who can't read English very well. Okay? And we have to understand that. That's why we have to be careful that we understand that they might not understand. We need to help them and break it down for them and help them to understand the words and the definitions. And so it's important that we do those things. Now, you have that dark photocopied paper. And what it is it's just a tool that Tom Palmer had written up years ago. And it's just a way to help you to remember the different gospel steps that you need to go through. Number one, and you fold it up, if you follow the directions and cut the line and everything, you fold it up, it ends up looking like this. And it turns into kind of an accordion thing, you know, and you can keep it, and you can put it in your Bible, you can put it in your pocket, and you can just learn it until you've got it memorized, how to go through someone about the gospel. First, we start with the bad news. And I always tell people, the bad news first, good news last. Bad news is, we're sinners. And we go through the gospel that way. Now, if you'll turn your page that I gave you to the second side, sharing the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, I declare unto you the gospel by which also you are saved. How that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And so that's what we're talking about here, sharing that good news, the gospel. And by the way, the word gospel means good news. So we start with the bad news, and we end up with the good news. I do like the the illustration that someone used one time, and they said that if you were in an airplane and you went through the airplane, commercial airplane, United, American Airlines, Delta, you went through the airplane and you said, hey, got a parachute here. You want a parachute? Anybody want a parachute? Not many people are going to take it because normally planes don't crash. And have you ever been on a plane lately? There ain't no room for a parachute. I mean, there's barely room for you to sit in that seat, let alone anything else to be in there. So you go up and down the aisle saying, hey, anybody want a parachute? Anybody want a parachute? There's probably not going to be very people. No, thanks. I don't need that right now. Thanks anyway. However, if you go up to the PA system and you make this announcement, ladies and gentlemen, the plane is about to go down. It looks like we're out of fuel. There's a problem. And the pilot says he doesn't think this plane's going to make it to our destination. It's losing altitude quite fast, and it's on its way down. And then you go through the aisle and you hand out parachutes. Guess how many's going to take one? That's why you got to give the bad news first. People have to know why they got to get saved. That's why we talk about hell. That's why we have to talk about sin. We have to talk about what's wrong before we can talk about what's right, so that they understand why they need the parachute, why they need the gospel, why they need the good news. They need the good news because there's bad news. And so that's important. So some questions that you can start out with, and you can kind of develop your own, but if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Years ago, my mom was knocking on doors and asking people something like that. Because she was taught to do that, and so she was doing it. Well, she said it this way. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? This was in Traverse City, Michigan. They said, yeah, I got a plot down in Detroit. No, that's not what I'm talking about. So be clear. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? One of our tracks even says, are you 100% sure? Another one says, how to get to heaven from South Dakota. And there's just different ones that we have. The bridge to life. All right. Another one, if you could know for sure from the Bible, would you want to know? If I could show you from the Bible how to go to heaven, would you mind if I took some time, maybe 5-10 minutes to show you that? And if they say, no, I don't have time, then I think that's the time when you say, well, at least stick that in your pocket and read what I was going to talk to you about. My wife has written a testimony of herself and how she got saved. And it's great. You know, I use it. Hey, my wife wrote this. You know, it's hard. FedEx came the other day. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Hey, by the way, my wife wrote this. I'd like to give that to you. Most people are going to be like, I don't want to read something your wife wrote. You know, they're not going to do that, right? So they'll take it, you know. And it's the gospel, but it's her story. It's her witness. It's her testimony. Or may I show you from the Bible how you can be saved? May I show you? And just questions like that. Number one, the bad news. Romans chapter 3. You know, I think we always, when you're given the gospel, you should start in Romans chapter 3. I mean, maybe you found a different place to start, but you could start in John 3:16. That wouldn't be bad either. But Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Compared to God, there is none righteous. Be honest. I know compared to some other person you know, you might think, well, I'm okay. But compared to God, and honestly, in your heart, you know you're not really that good. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so, verse 23, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin came into the world. Because of Adam's sin, sin was made we're all sinners. And I'll read it here. I was going to quote it, but I'll just read it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so Adam started it all when Adam sinned, and of course Eve. And so Adam's sin brought human sin and death into our world. Now God's sinless and perfect. And God cannot allow sin into heaven. God allows saved people into heaven, but God will not allow sin into heaven. It cannot stand before him. So, using this little thing, you notice at the bottom it says, like throwing a rock to the North Pole. No one's going to be able to do it. I like to use the illustration of standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. I'm standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon with you, and you're the world's greatest jumper. You can jump, I like to tell you can jump 85 feet. If I'm having a good day, I can jump 5 feet. Now, what we're going to try to do is jump to the other side of the Grand Canyon. I jump my 5 feet, and splat. But you, the world's greatest jumper, jump 85 feet. But you still go splat, don't you? Because neither one of us can make it. And that's what Romans 3:23 says. All have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. That's why there's a picture of a ruler on that first little section. We fall short. We miss the mark. An arrow that doesn't hit the target, etc., etc. So, bad news number one, we're all sinners. Bad news number two, there's a penalty for that. And we read it in Romans 5:12, and death, he brought death into the world. Sin brought death into the world. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And so, it's not just that we're sinners, but that sin brings death. And that's why that's the serious bad news. Most people know they're sinners. Now, once in a while, I have talked to people at their door, strangers, and I'll say, do you agree that you're a sinner? No, well, I've never sinned. You know, okay, now you understand what sin is. Sin is anything that we've done against God. I've never done anything. All right, well, here's something to read. You have a good day. I mean, that's the end of the conversation. You know why? Because if they're not going to be honest, we can't go any farther. If they don't see themselves as a sinner, they're not going to take a parachute. They don't think the plane's going down. They don't think they got a problem. I can stand there and say, yeah, I'm a sinner, you know. I mean, I can say, hey, have you ever told a lie? That's a sin, you know. The Ten Commandments, I can try to leave them with some things. But if they're not going to agree with the Bible, because the Bible says how many have sinned? If they're not going to agree that they're part of the all, then that's about it. All we can do is leave them with that to think about. Because I got a feeling when we close the door, and that's just happened before. When that lady closed the door and I'm walking away, shaking my head, going down the driveway, and she's walking up the stairs of her house, I can't help but think that she's saying, I'm not a sinner. Of course I'm a sinner. You know? She just stood there and told a lie. But that's on her. But so people have to, first of all, admit they're a sinner. And understand there's a penalty for sin. And that sin is death. And we talked about it this morning. It's the what death? The second death. Eternal death. The spiritual death. Death is physical, but it's also spiritual. And it's the wages of our sin. It's the penalty for sin. And so the penalty for sin is death. The wages are earned and deserved. Brother Bill has a little envelope that he likes to use. And he uses an illustration with an envelope. But it's the penalty. It's the wages. So you see the stack of coins to illustrate wages here. And so the second point is that not only are we all sinners, but we got wages. And Brother Bill says, you know what? Wages are something you have coming to you. I like that point that he makes. If you have wages, they are coming to you. They've got your name on them. You earned your wages. And the wages of sin is you earn that. All right? We've earned it. All right, so that's the bad news. Now here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life. And what I like about this is that I usually would go to Romans 6:23 and I'd say, this verse has the bad news and the good news all in one verse. If you're looking at Romans 6:23 in your Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death, semicolon, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Isn't that awesome? You've got the bad news and the good news all in one verse. The good news is that Jesus died for my sin. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says Christ died for us. That's the gospel, the good news, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Jesus became my Savior, my substitute when he died in my place. He paid the debt for my sin on the cross. And so the example then is the payment of a huge debt. If you're talking to someone who has already started to make money, they're a teenager and they've got a job, or they're an adult, just pick a number. Let's say you owed $5 million. If I owed $5 million, forget it. I'm done. Okay? If you owed $5 million and you couldn't pay it, what would you do? You'd just be heartbroken. I think years ago you'd be put in debtor's prison. But let's say someone came and said, I'll pay your debt. Is it a no-brainer? I mean, would you reject that? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a debt you can't pay. And Christ paid it for you on the cross. And so it's the only thing left for you to do is to just receive it, believe it, and receive it. So then I would go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And if I needed to talk about righteousness, being self-righteous, I would talk about verse 3. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Christ. And I have it at the bottom of your page, but I'm going to go ahead and insert it here and say it now. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 is a great place to go because it says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Dave was telling me a story after church today. He said that years ago he was standing in line at the grocery store and he was getting ready to pay for his groceries, and the lady right behind him had a big gulp and whatever, and she was trying to find her money in her wallet so she could pay for hers. And Dave just said, hey, I'll pay for hers. I'll just go ahead and pay for hers. So he paid for his, and then he paid for whatever she had behind him. And then the cashier said to Dave, you'll go to heaven for that. And Dave said, no, I won't. No, I won't. Now, I am going to heaven, but I'm not going to heaven because I did that. Okay? I just wanted to do that, but that's not going to get me to heaven. That's just a good work, and good works don't get us to heaven. Salvation is not by works that we have done. It's the gift of God. And that's what they have to understand here. They have to understand it's not self-righteousness. So verse 9, that if thou shalt, and by the way, that's not just bad news, that's good news. It's only bad news for people who've always thought they were good. It's only bad news for people who've been self-righteous all their life. But it's good news for people who don't have a lot of good works to brag about. Because it's not our good works. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I skip down, usually for the sake of time, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if I need to, if I think it's important, I'll show them that. In verse 12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. It doesn't matter what ethnic background you are, what skin color you are. That has nothing. That means nothing to God. He's not interested in any of that. It says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See that word whosoever again? If Matt, if George will call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. And as I said earlier, Romans 6:23, the gift becomes yours when you receive it. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so those last two sections of this little tool, Christ died for my sin, I must trust Christ. It's a gift. See that little picture of a gift? Well, Christmas just happened. I got some gifts for Christmas from people, but I had to open them. And I had to claim them. But let's say there's a gift under the tree with your name on it, and you don't open it, and you don't claim it. You're not saved. See, Jesus died for everybody, but that doesn't mean everybody has received him. It's just like if I went into the grocery store and said, I'm paying for everybody in this store. I'm paying all their for their groceries. Everybody, I'm just paying for it. Somebody walks up to the cash register and said, I'm paying my own. Well, then I guess you didn't receive the gift that was offered. And it's the same with salvation. It's all paid. The world has been paid for. And by the way, Calvinism teaches that the world hasn't been paid for. No. God so loved the world. Jesus tasted death for every man. It's an individual choice to ignore it, to not believe it, to assume it can't be true. What is the biggest problem with free gifts? A lot of times people don't believe them, right? Too good to be true. It's too easy. But that's exactly right. And there are people out there who are so thankful it was too easy. For instance, the thief on the cross who was hanging on the cross. It needed to be easy for him. What about somebody who can't even read? What about somebody who has not much of an education, not much of anything going for them? Do they need it complicated? No, it needs to be simple. That's why a little person can understand it just as well as a 95-year-old can understand it. And so we need to recognize that it is not a work, it is a gift. And so maybe review it with them and ask them if they understand. And if they understand, ask them if they're ready to pray to ask God to save them. And make sure they understand that it is to God that they're praying. And I'll tell the people that I'm dealing with, I'll tell them, I like it when I can hear you pray, but you're not praying to me. But you need to pray to God. And so there are some times where people will pray and they'll pray out loud. Most of the time when it's just me and that person, they just pray out loud. But there are times where they might pray quietly. And after they're done, I'll say, did you talk to God? Did you ask him this, this, and this? Did you ask him to forgive your sin? Did you ask him to save you? Did you believe on him? Did you accept his gift of salvation? Did you receive his gift? And then I'll ask him this, whether they prayed silently or out loud, I'll ask him, do you think God was in heaven doing this? You know? Do you think while you were talking, he was up there with his... No. No, he's excited. And in fact, the Bible says that the angels rejoice every time a sinner repents. And then after that, you might want to give some assurance verses. And that's why we, you know, assurance verses meaning that to whosoever shall not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:13. These things are written that you may know that you have the Son of God, and that you know these things. You have that blessed assurance, and so assurance verses. But this is why we have Bible study. Some people in our church are doing a Bible study with some others that have gotten saved, and the first step, the first lesson, is assurance of our salvation. The second step is baptism. And pray for those that have gotten saved, that they'll be able and that they'll just realize they need to take the time to just go through those simple steps and talk about step one, step two, step three, and have that opportunity to just confirm what they have made a decision and understand that and have that solidify. When you get to the last step in that little book, it's how to lead someone else to the Lord. And I'm going through a study right now with some young Christians and they've gotten saved recently as well. It's exciting. It's a part of being a Christian. It's no different than if you were an adult. The expectation is for you to marry and to reproduce yourself. It's the same thing as a Christian. The expectation is that you get mature and you reproduce yourself. And in this year of 2021, we should have a goal to reproduce ourselves. And there's lots of tools that we can use, but don't ever hide behind the tools. But be sure to use the tools. Here's a great little, my friend Dave Olson wrote this. It's the story of Amazing Grace, how this song came about. And the man who wrote it, who was a slave trader and a drunk. It's a great story because people recognize that song, Amazing Grace, and use these different things to as ways to share with people and give out something that they can take home and read on their own. A lot of times people in the comfort of their home will read. And now with the internet and the video, people can watch. Someone today during handshaking time said, you know what? Our chiropractor way up in North Dakota watches you.
Okay.
I don't know. We don't know. We don't know where all this printed literature goes and publication goes. We don't know. We just cast your bread upon the waters and let it just spread, you know, and trust the Lord. And he'll, you know, he'll bring in the increase. I'll never forget, you know, Miss Donna lives at Landover. And there was a lady there named Blanche. And she called me when we first came to Custer, and she saw that my name in the paper, and she called and said, would you come do a Bible study with us? I said, sure. And so I gathered around with Blanche and some other ladies. Blanche is in heaven now. And Blanche was 90-some years old when I met her. And I said, ladies, I'd like to ask you if you could tell me when you got saved. And we went around the table, and some of them really couldn't tell me. They didn't have really a story. But some had a time. I was 12 years old. I was at a camp meeting here, whatever. We got to Blanche. Blanche reached into her Bible, and inside her Bible, she pulled out the Are You 100% Sure blue tract from this church. And she said, well, I just read what this said, and I prayed after I read it. I thought Blanche, she's the one that asked me to do the Bible study. I thought she'd been Christian for years. She said, no, I just got saved a few years ago when the other preacher that was here before you was giving these out. Printed paper that this church paid for. You never know how God will use what you do, what you say. I think a great tract is that book called Done. I think another great tract is that DVD, condensed version, Ken Holman. And get people to think and to contemplate and to realize the Bible is cool. It's not out of date. There's just lots of tools that we have to use out there, and use them. You know, that's what we have all this expense account for that we're going to talk about in our business meeting. That's what we're doing with it. That's why we spend the time and the money, because we want to use it. And if you're a parent, you've got the best avenue and access to your kids of anybody. If you're a grandparent, sitting down on the couch with them, talking to them about the gospel, using maybe visuals or something else to explain to them what it means, teaching them those colors, the wordless book story, the different colors, and attaching the Bible to those colors. There's just lots of ways that you can lead someone to the Lord. In 2021, I think you've got a great opportunity, because I think a lot of people are looking right now for something. A lot of people are starting to scratch their heads and wonder what's going to happen. So I think it's a great opportunity, because I think the fish are biting. I think it's a great opportunity, and we need to fish for men and give out the gospel. So there's just some ideas here. And we have Saturday visitation where we go out and we make visits to people that we have a contact with. Or sometimes we'll just go door to door and just talk to people we don't know. You know, this week's a perfect opportunity, because this week you have an opportunity to say, hey, I want to invite you to church, because we got a special speaker. It's not the boring pastor we normally have. We have a really good preacher this week. Come, you know, whatever, an excuse to talk to people about the Lord, about church, about coming and giving and sharing the gospel. You just never know how God's going to use what you say, what you give out, and trust him. And understand, if they reject you, I was listening to Tom Palmer. He said, I took a group of kids, young kids, to one side of New York City, and it was a bunch of Russian Jews. And he said they took the literature that we gave them, and they ripped it up right in their face and threw it at them. Oh, I mean, that happens to you, you'd be like, I don't want to do that again, you know. Listen, that the devil will make sure you have a real bad experience so that you'll decide never to do it again. But you know what? Don't quit. Because one of these times, someone's going to get saved. You're going to be so thrilled. Wow! I mean, because out there right now, there's nine people that could care less, but there's that one person that just wants to know. So just keep going till you find them. And you'll find out that that person's been thinking and struggling and thinking about that for a long time and wondering what the answers are. And God will use you. And I think, as it says in our Bible, that God likes to use the simple things so that he gets all the glory. God likes to use the simplest of things so that he gets the credit for it. So share the gospel and have it a goal in your heart before December hits that someone has been led to the Lord. Someone has been reached through your witness of his gospel. Let's close with a song, and then we'll open in prayer for our business reporting. So 5:35, and I got a feeling that Miss Wilma might not get here in time, but we can sing it without her even here playing the piano. My goal is that we think about the words to this song, because right now I have a feeling that all of us know somebody that we can talk to. So 5:35, let's stand, stretch our legs, and we'll sing all three verses a cappella, 5:35. All right, I'll start us out, and hopefully I won't start us out wrong. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom you died. And may I never draw back or sin with fear or foolish pride. Lord, may I love as you have loved the souls of those I know, and grant me power from heaven above thy love for them to show. All right. Well, let's pray, and let's pray that the Lord will lay some soul upon our heart and help us to love that soul to him. Lord, we thank you for our evening and our time together. Thank you for opportunity to just practice being a witness and sharing your truth. There'll be lots of things we'll learn along the way, and we'll realize that we have things that we need to sharpen up. But as we keep trying to give the gospel, sooner or later we'll see someone that is saved, someone that comes to saving faith, someone that probably someone else had already started working on, and they were just ripe when we finally came across their path. Help us to have a desire to help see people saved, to help them to see you and to find you and to be the witness, to be the soul winner that you'd have us to be. And we thank you that someone was a soul winner for us, someone witnessed to us, someone shared the gospel with us, and that's why we're saved tonight. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.